You're listening to Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY. It's time for A Healthier Michigan. Today, we're going to talk about addiction transfer. Dr. William Beecroft joins us, Medical Director of Behavioral Health at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. What is addiction transfer, Dr. Beecroft?
Well, it's moving from one particular addiction to another, and it would be like using alcohol as your addiction drug, and then if you decide to stop using alcohol, switching to benzodiazepines. Those are drugs like Ativan and Valium, kind of in the same category, but a different drug in particular.
Why do people do that? Do they think that they're improving their health by not doing one and substituting it with another?
That may be a consideration. It may also be access, that the access to a particular chemical or drug that is being used is substituted for something that has more availability. Kind of like the issue with opioids, going from OxyContin, which has become much more difficult to obtain, to say fentanyl from the street or carfentanil from the street. You know, that would be an example of a transfer as well.
It's amazing that people do that when we know that street drugs can be tainted and that you can die from them. That doesn't seem to stop people. And so that begs the question, how do addictions begin? And why are substances or behaviors so attractive to individuals?
Well, we're built with various neurotransmitters in our brain. And some of them code for pleasure. Some of them code for pain relief. Others code for anxiety or lack of anxiety, if you're kind of wired differently for that. And so there really is four major neurotransmitters in the brain that are affected. And there's a whole bunch more. There's other ones that are variants and that modify the four main ones. But you have the chemicals that are modulated by things like alcohol and benzodiazepines. Those are called GABA drugs, G-A-B-A, which is gamma-aminobutyric acid. And those really stimulate a part of the brain that modifies the calcium going in and out of the nerve cells themselves. So in that causes people to be less anxious. So if you have someone that is anxious or maybe has a social anxiety disorder and wants to go to a party and be a little bit more social, they have a drink and, you know, that changes their brain chemistry. Problem is that the body sees these as toxins, and it adjusts to that. So you need more and more, in this case, alcohol to be able to get that effect. Well, eventually you decide you don't want to drink anymore. You have pancreatitis or some consequence of the alcohol. So you switch over to, as I say, the benzodiazepines or other sedative hypnotic drugs that are available on not only the legal market, but illegal market as well.
So a lot of this has to do with the brain, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's all modulated by transmitter systems in our brain that we're born with. You know, everybody has a little bit of variation in that, how they're wired. And some people are more sensitive to becoming addicted to these chemicals than others do. So it's all the individual and all of our genetics that go into it. But the common denominator is everybody's susceptible to it.
Yeah. You know, there's hope out there in these new weight loss drugs like Mounjaro and Wegovy, which are really helping a lot of people lose a lot of weight. But now they're saying that they might be the answer for alcoholics as well. Do you have any hope in that?
I have a lot of hope that there's a lot of things that we find when we use medications that are used off-label for good purposes. And you know, it all comes down to finances of being able to get it through the FDA and do the research and all that piece that goes along with it. But we find things that you wouldn't think would be helpful that really are. And that's where I think some of these newer drugs will find out where the envelope is for them as well.
Yeah, and you're right. If they can get it, if insurance is going to cover it for that, and at least there is hope on the horizon. So, Dr. Beecroft, what are the signs and symptoms of addiction transfer so that someone who might be going through this can say, aha, this is what I'm doing?
I don't think there's any real, you know, hard and fast rules for what's addiction transfer versus addiction, period. It really comes down to if you're spending an awful lot of time, 80, 90% of your time, thinking about how you're going to be able to attain the drug or its alternative, and that's maybe where the transfer comes into. that's a bit involved in financial impairment for you, that you end up getting way behind on your debts, or you go bankrupt, or go into foreclosure on your house, where you're really cutting off friends and other loved ones from your life because you're so focused on obtaining the drug or its alternative. Those are things that all go into what are signs and symptoms of an addiction or habituation of a drug. The fact that you substitute another one for that, it's the same thing. It's another habituation or addiction to that new chemical that you're ingesting, one way or another.
Wow. Dr. Beecroft, the most important question would be then, how can someone experiencing these symptoms seek help?
Really quite easy to be able to seek help. You can go to an NA meeting or an AA meeting this afternoon. Being able to go to community resources like that, you can also be able to call up your insurance company and be able to get referred to a therapist. There are many emergency rooms now that are participating in what's called the Yale protocol globally, but it's really inducing people into medically assisted treatment for opioid use disorder in the emergency room, and they then refer immediately to community resources to then follow that up. So you don't even have to go to rehab anymore. For some people, that you can go directly onto these medications and be tapered gradually off of the drug, but get the other psychosocial resources that can be able to help you stay off of it and stay in remission for a very long period of time.
We hope our listeners who might be going through this have the strength to do that, to be empowered in order to get that help, because it is right there in front of them, isn't it, Dr. Beecroft?
Absolutely.